From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. 9 game weeks to go, and it's time to get your team set for the run-in. Today, we'll sort out the must-haves from the Mustafis, the winks from the nods, the 5-star from the 4-star. It's all coming up in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, Fantasy Manager. International break ahead of us. We've got the run-in, and today the first of two pods that we're going to be doing before the next FPL deadline, and we'll be looking at strategy and how basically to bring the curtain down on your season with a bang. Today on the show, a journalist, Jack Lang. Hello, Jack.
Hi, James. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. The FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Hi, James.
And a very special guest, we've got Faris Babwan of The Horrors. Hello, Faris.
Hi.
Lovely to have you with us. The Horrors is kind of Jack's house band, actually, given the season that he's been having so far. You yourself have been doing pretty well, though, Faris, with your team, Stairway to Evans.
Yeah, this hasn't, to be honest, hasn't really been a good season for me. I'm doing all right in the mini league, but even the Horrors league, I'm miles off. I'm something like 300.
Oh wow!
It's quite competitive, though. It's got really. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. There's a lot.
Because in the music,
are you at least the best in the band?
Yeah, the other guys don't play, so yeah. I'm not even the best in my family. My youngest brother is beating me at the moment. So yeah.
In the music league, you're getting schooled by Johnny Dutch out of the Manor. He's 25 points ahead of you, just keeping you out of the top five. Music league, of course, led by Ross Millard of the Future Heads. Is there something you can break into? Is that a big target for you?
I think it's definitely possible. I think I've got a good chance.
Okay.
It's not a big gap.
Well, amongst all of this, you've also been producing some new output with The Horrors as well. A Lout new single is out now, which we can't play you for copyright reasons. Would you like to just describe it?
Well, it's a left turn from our previous record, which we often do, and it was all written and recorded remotely, which is the first time we've sort of done that heavier, and we kind of wrote the song thinking we could it would be good to play live, which, you know, wasn't ideal choice. It's weird because I think people are processing music differently at the moment.
Right, although it is an expression of how you're making music at the moment. You could play it live in New Zealand, of course, but that's something to ponder. Enough about that record. Let's talk about everybody's record in game week 29. Jack, I ribbed you gently about your poor performances this season, but you actually picked up 67 points in this blank game week.
It was the result of I did a lot of planning for this week, and most of the planning, again, fell by the wayside when players got injured, so I couldn't get a full side out. And just lucky, really. I very nearly went for Bale. Eventually went for Trossard just because Bale had extra time. A rare occasion when the coin toss of fantasy luck fell my way.
Oh, nice one. As Mike Tyson once observed, everyone's got a plan until the FPL weekend kicks off. Sam Bonfield, had a surprisingly poor weekend.
My kind of plans for game week 29 were in disarray with some injuries, and I was kind of pondering on how I was going to get 11 out, and in the end decided that the best policy was to just not take any hits and get as many players out as possible. So I went into the game week with the potential to have 11 players out, obviously knowing that Son was highly unlikely to play. So I lost him almost before it started. You know, there was a big part of me that wanted to go heavy on Brighton and top up my Ben White pick from a few weeks ago, but the fixtures don't look ideal going forward. And I kind of felt like I wanted to be in a position where my game week 30 team looked really nice. So there was always potential for a bit of a hit this week, but it wasn't too bad.
Okay, 53 points and you still got a green arrow. That's remarkable. You're just outside the top 52K at the moment. Our top rated guest is Mark Southerns, not surprisingly. He's just outside the top 5K, so that's interesting. All right, well, let's talk about, you mentioned Brighton there. But let's talk about some of the big names from game week 29. Leandro Trossard with 14 points was the top scorer. A lot of people brought him in for 29, and Lewis Dunk, other players were Veltman too. What's the plan with Brighton players? Was it just for that one weekend? Was it just a 3 a.m. call to the Brighton players and then that's it?
So if you did bring in some extra Brighton players for game week 29, it's probably worth holding them, benching them for 30 if you don't like the fixture, and then bringing them back into your team for that double in 32.
All right, Faris, have you got seagulls?
I held off bringing in transfers that I would have done otherwise. I mean, people like Ian Atcho, I was really looking at a few weeks ago, and I thought, no, you know, I need to kind of, you know, head towards the blank game week. But I think I would have gained more points if I'd just gone for, you know, if I'd not kept it in mind. Because, I mean, in the end, I was going to go for Trossard and Veltman, which sounds, you know, convenient, doesn't it? But yeah, I just thought after that, they've been too frustrating for me, Brighton. You know, I mean, everyone knows they're kind of like pretty high on the stats, like, and they should be doing a lot better than they are, but they've just been too frustrating. It's so, you know, not scoring enough. It's, you know, I mean, the Trossard this season, how many times did he hit the post? I can't, you know, it must have been about six or seven times.
Well, you mentioned Ian Atcho, who wasn't in action, but he was in the FA Cup, of course, and doing terrifically well there against Man United. He's now at 9 goals in 9 appearances for Leicester. There is still that question about what's going to happen when Maddison and Barnes come back into the picture. But is that somebody that everybody, is Faris the only one who's looking to get Ian Atcho in?
I think this week, I mean, Ian Atcho is on my radar, but because I think a lot of people have Bamford still. Bamford has a very easy fixture and Ian Atcho has a very hard fixture. So I think I can see that a lot after the next game week. That would be a very popular move, I imagine.
Right.
Because Bamford, after Sheffield United, Bamford's got Man City, Liverpool, Man United, and then Tottenham fairly soon afterwards. So
we'll see. But Jack points to something which we'll be touching on a little bit more later on, which is the big fixture shift, which FPL sages talk about, that's happening around about, well, happening between game week 30 and 31. We'll be looking at chip strategies and how that relates to those a little bit later on. But just to run through one or two more of the big scorers from game week 29. We mentioned Brighton. Ooh, Harry Kane, who was the most captained. And for those who kept the faith, he rewarded them. 7 points. A little jig there from Sam Bonfield.
Got to love a Harry Kane return, James, haven't we?
Well, you do if you've captained him, yeah. Bale benched and Lucas Moura emerging as perhaps the next best thing beyond Kane in the Spurs setup.
I think that's definitely true. Over the last few weeks, he's been a lot more influential in terms of the positions that he's been taking up on the pitch, a lot more momentum and a lot more drive, playing in a way that is very... is in the form that Mourinho is asking the rest of the team to perform in. He seems to be stepping up to the plate. And I think from an FPL perspective, he seems to be the one that is less at risk of rotation right now, particularly after Bale's comments on international duty about how he was only at Spurs to get his game time up ahead of the Euros this summer. Now, even the Spurs fan in me totally gets that. I think he does need more game time before going to Wales. But what impact does that have on his time that he's going to have at Spurs? Because I know Mourinho, he is not going to take kindly to those sorts of comments. And when you've got somebody like Lucas Moura playing as well as he is, I can see Bale's minutes being limited by that kind of response and outburst, because Mourinho just doesn't like that kind of anti-team feeling.
At the moment, he's almost like the Riyad Mahrez of Spurs, in that he's like the ultimate kind of troll player. You know, you get him, you know, he gets a hat trick and then you get him and he does nothing for it. You know, I feel like I've been lured into that trap and now I've got him and I'm probably going to have to wildcard because of it.
If you look up troll player in the dictionary, does it have a picture of Riyad Mahrez?
I think it must do, yeah, because it's so frustrating.
It has a picture of a lot of Man City players.
Speaking of players who are at places on loan and doing well but may well not be there next year, what about Jesse Lingard? Is he now the ultimate must-have FPL asset? 5 goals and 3 assists in 7 appearances so far for the Hammers. Of course, he got a goal and an assist in the 3-3 draw with Arsenal. Jack, you just wildcarded, and we'll hear much more about that, but is he in your wildcard team?
Yes, he is. He was in my team before that as well. I think, yeah, it's hard to look past him for that price. He's only, 6.2 still. He's basically playing up front. He's playing with a partner he seems to really gel with in Antonio. And obviously, we're going to talk about kind of motivational factors later when it comes to the plan for the rest of the season. But He's an example of someone who has individual motivation. It's not just, looking at teams who still have something to play for. It's players who are got something to prove, got something to aim for. He obviously wants to be at the Euros. And yeah, they've got really nice fixtures. I think he'd be a very strange player to leave out of a wildcard team.
Excellent. We'll be talking about a lot of long-term thoughts, including, as Jack mentions, motivation very, very shortly. But first of all, let's hear what listeners are planning as we approach the run-in. This week, we asked you on Twitter with the hashtag FPLPod, with just under a quarter of the FPL season remaining, what strategy will you use to try and finish the season off with a good rank? Pithy one there. Dimitri got back to us. He said, not hurry into new transfers, we'll wait and see, which is a bold call when you're approaching the last few weeks of the season. Mo says, stick with Kane and City assets, differentials for the rest. Again, we'll come back to that because City, while being obviously very, very excellent, do have one or two fixture questions around them, as well as rotation, of course. Tendai says, it's sink or swim time. I have to take more punts to try and gain in my mini league. Andy's similar issues. 90% of my mini league own Fernandes, Bamford, Gundogan, Martinez, Rafinha, Diaz, Cresswell, etc. I'm 30 points behind, so I ditch them all. Win or bust time. And Ninja says, I'm going to try and score more points than the other teams in the same league as me. It's risky, but it might work. All valid plans. Well, let's hear then from Faris, Jack and Sam about what exactly they're intending to do. The first thing I was going to ask was about who's got what chips left and when they're going to use them. So, Faris, what have you still got holding?
So, I've got my bench boost and my wild card. I feel like this year, like more than a lot of seasons, we've had a surplus of cash. Like, there's a lot of cheaper options. And it's easy to fall into the trap of just getting a 11.5 million midfield. Really, I should have gone for someone else like Lingard or Trossard.
That literally happened to me this game week. I got in a Aubameyang, and that's, it's good to talk about it and I feel better. But yes. So the Man City question, because you've got motivation there, which they've got Pep riding them, so you can believe that they're still going to be fired up. But they have got so many other issues and so many other competitions, so many other irons in the fire. Plus, there's a blank game week for them as well. Sam, what are you doing with Man City assets right now?
So I currently only have one in Ruben Dias because I sold Gundogan ahead of game week 29 with a plan to bring in KDB as part of my wild card for game week 32 onwards. Now, there is obviously the blank game week to consider in game week 33. But as a result of Manchester City's European commitments, as well as the FA Cup commitments, they are likely to play twice in game week 32. So you are likely to have a double City game week in game week 32 with their Aston Villa game being arranged at that point. So with that in mind, I think not having City players is a challenge. Now, yes, there will, of course, it's Pep and he loves a roulette. There will be plenty of changes to his squads going into those games, considering, the Champions League and the FA Cup and the League Cup final. But there's certain players, the likes of Kevin De Bruyne, since he's come back from injury, who are likely to play at least the games until the Premier League is assured and they have definitely won it in numbers terms. Just be warned, of course, that game week 33, you're going to have some issues when Spurs and Man City and Fulham and Southampton don't play because of that League Cup final.
Right. At the moment, with the four games that are going to drop out of game week 32 because of the FA Cup, there are actually two fixtures that Villa are going to have to make up and two fixtures that Saints are going to have to make up. So those two teams are going to have boku of double game weeks between now and the end of the season. On the subject of motivation, normally you try and avoid players down the wrong end of the table because there's a good reason they're down there. But are we saying now that you would prioritise players who are in a relegation scrap just because they're, playing for their top flight survival? Jack, you're frowning.
I don't really buy quite that strategy.
So how would you use motivation then?
Yeah, well, just on the relegation thing, we can all remember probably one or two genius fantasy picks of the past. I remember Sean Maloney at Wigan when Wigan were mounting a great escape. Just this period of six or seven games when he just essentially turned to like Rivellino or something and really became one of the great fantasy assets. But in general, it doesn't really appeal to me that much, particularly just because of the teams down there. So West Brom and Sheffield United are rubbish and they're already relegated, basically. Fulham, I've kind of flirted with their defenders, but there's no one really scoring consistently enough for me to be interested. I wouldn't touch a Newcastle player with a barge pole. No. And basically, it's Brighton are the form team.
Who do you think, though, might be this season's Sean Maloney, then?
I fancy a punt on Lookman for the closing weeks of the season. I think Fulham have got a really good chance of getting out of their situation. They're in really good form. They're playing really well. Defensively, since Anderson arrived, they're a lot more solid. So I think if you're looking to... And you have to be careful again because, of course, we've already said Fulham won't play in game week 33. And if you're doubled up on Spurs and City as well, you're going to give yourself problems. But after game week 33, for that final few weeks of the season, the likes of Lookman, Aynor, Anderson, Areola, I'll be looking at all of them as really good options to kind of invest in a team that's really got some form about them and has got a real motivation to fight till the end of the season. I think Scott Parker's got them playing for him now. And I see Fulham ending the season really, really well.
Okay. Sam, you've got your wild card still. I think, Faris, you have two. And Jack, you've got yours active. We'll hear very shortly from Sam about why she's waiting to play hers until game week 31. But Jack, who have you set up yours? What have been the kind of building blocks of your side?
I've kept three City players for now. I'll see what happens with the fixtures. But I've had Cancelo and Stones at the back. They stay. I've also got two Chelsea defenders now, Mendy, who is very cheap and very good, and Rudiger, who is only like 4.6, which seems laughable considering he pretty much plays every game. I've kept Salah just because I think Liverpool are one of those teams who have something to fight for, even if it's just pride. And then I suppose my slightly... I haven't really gone for that wild a differential. I just think if I get enough really good players, I'll probably climb a bit. The ones that deviated from my plan before, just based on fixtures, are Luca Dean and Calvert-Lewin, just because I don't think Everton are that special, really, but their fixtures are fantastic.
Jack mentioned Chelsea, and great shout on Antonio Rudiger. 4.6 million, Jack, that's extraordinary. Mendy as well, who's been racking up the clean sheets. They are so tight right now. Only two goals conceded in their fixtures under Thomas Tuchel. And in their next four games... Chelsea are going to be facing three of the bottom seven sides in terms of goals scored this season, West Brom, Palace and Fulham. So it seems a no-brainer to get two or maybe three Chelsea defenders in. Maybe three is a little bit too much, but...
I was really tempted to press the big red button marked Marcus Alonso, who is one of my favourite fantasy players ever. But just as I was about to do it, Chilwell seems to have rediscovered a bit of form, so I chickened out of that one.
He's featured in every single minute for Chelsea since Tuchel was appointed, averaging 6.6 points per game in that period. Right, so...
I think Rudiger's only actually missed one game, and he's played every other minute, I think.
So Chelsea defenders look a good place to go. Other than that, I don't know how anybody else feels about Jack hanging on to Mo Salah. What do you think, Faris and Sam?
Yeah, I've had him all year, all season, but my patience just ran out a few weeks ago. I had enough. It's too frustrating. I don't know what's happened, but actually, you know what? Mane has been worse. Mane has escaped a lot of criticism this year for whatever reason. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, surely they're going to turn it around soon. I think Jota, in some ways, I think Jota might be the one to go for.
Maybe you guys can judge my one. So my one dilemma was Salah and Gundogan on one side or De Bruyne and Jota. So both with a City and a Liverpool.
It's a no-brainer for me, that, Jack.
Bang on the same price.
I'd go the other way that you have at the moment. I think for me right now, Jota, because he's been out injured for so long, he's coming back with a fresh fight and a fresh determination about him. He's the one that's most consistently starting. He's the one getting in all the right positions. He's the one driving the team forward. And as a result of that, he's the one creating more opportunities and getting the opportunities as well. So he's the one that I think is most likely to score goals. On the flip of that, it's the same at City, isn't it? With De Bruyne, since he's come back from injury, he's kind of taken that mantle, playing further forward than Gundogan. So you've got the potential to own the two most attacking players from Manchester City and Liverpool, or the out of form player from Liverpool. And I'm not saying Gundogan's out of form, because he's still been great, but he's less attacking with KDB on the pitch. So he will still return points over the course of the season, but I think KDB will return more. So it will be Jota and KDB all day long for me.
Is that why you got rid of Gundogan, Sam?
In part, yeah. It was a movement. Well, he wasn't playing in game week 29 and I wanted an extra player. And my plan as part of my wildcard team, when I get to that, is to bring in De Bruyne. So I thought, so I'm not, you know, entirely convinced that I want to bring KDB in ahead of Leicester. But after that, they've got some nice fixtures. They've got Leeds and Aston Villa. They're likely to have a double, as I say, in game week 32, where it will probably be them playing against Aston Villa. So a double with Leeds and Villa, who are in bad form right now. It feels like it could be a really nice option. You do have the game week 33 problem. But yeah, I think De Bruyne over Gundogan is the best call right now.
And not both? I mean, have you only got two Man City at the moment?
There's definitely scope for both. I think my issue with having both is that there will be a lot of rotation at Manchester City. There always is. Yeah. And ahead of the fixtures that they have coming up, as well as, you know, the League Cup final and the Champions League and the FA Cup, I can see Pep playing Foden more. I can see him playing Mahrez more. So I think you just have to ensure, and it's easy enough to do if you're not going to own the likes of Salah and Aubameyang, you just have to make sure that your bench is solid. Because one thing that Pep is particularly good at is giving players a rest and not bringing them on.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I was thinking of Edison, because it felt like that was the... Having three outfield players from Man City, I feel like it's maybe too risky at the moment, just because of the rotation you mentioned.
Since class is in session, Sam, why don't you explain to us why, although everyone's teams will have different requirements, game week 31 is maybe the optimum time for anyone who's still got a wild card to lay that puppy down?
The fixtures in game week 30 actually lend quite well to the players that you were bringing in for game week 29. So there's really nice fixtures, for example, for Spurs, who a lot of people doubled or trebled up on. They play a really poor Newcastle side, who are missing some key players right now. So when you look at the fixtures, similar with Chelsea, you know, you might want to go for multiple Chelsea players. So doing it in game week 31 feels like a really nice way in, avoiding the difficult fixtures in game week 30 and getting on them for the right time.
Another example of that are Wolves, who have West Ham in game week 30, but then after that have Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley and West Brom.
And the good thing about that, waiting on Wolves, is that we'll get an understanding of Patricio and whether he's going to be able to play again, because that will affect whether you want to invest in the Wolves' defence. So having that extra week of thinking time and getting to see Wolves play again against West Ham will give us a greater insight into whether we want to invest in them for game week 30's wildcard.
Okay. As regards to other chips, like the bench boost and the triple captain, are you looking to highlight the double game weeks when they come up, to use those? And if so, when are they going to happen, do you think? When have you got earmarked for them?
So game week 32 looks to be the one that's probably going to have the most extra games put into it, probably having Villa and Manchester City put in there and Chelsea and Brighton. So we're going to get two more fixtures. So 32 might be quite a nice point. Plus, it's probably likely that you're going to be looking to de-invest in City and Spurs and Fulham at that stage, at least for a week, because of the League Cup final in 33. So a bench boost in one of those game weeks might be quite nice. It might also be a good opportunity if you want to triple captain a Spurs player, or in particular, if you want to captain a triple captain a Chelsea player or a Man City player before they get back into the real heat of the Champions League and the European competitions, because you might get some rotation otherwise. And the last thing you want is triple captain on a double game week where they miss out through rotation.
My brother actually triple captain Gundogan on that double week where he got 19. And then he still had another game. And I thought it was going to be, you know, it was already one of the biggest scores I've seen for a single player ever. I think the chips tend to, on average, I feel like they're probably worth about 20 points. The bench boost and the triple captain, I think, you know, like I think you want to kind of aim for that, you know, and at the minimum, you want like one attacking return, obviously, for if you're triple captaining someone. But the bench boost out of all of them is probably the, you know, like we were saying earlier, I think it's probably the least useful.
Bench boost is the only way of ensuring that you don't leave 20 points on the bench. You will leave massive amounts on the bench, and then you play your bench boost and nobody does anything. So I'm not sure when I'm going to play it and does it even matter. But we'll see.
I don't think it matters so much with a bench boost if you play it in a single game week, to be honest. As we've seen from my bench this season, James, every time I'm on, I've got hundreds of points on there constantly. So playing it in a single game week actually feels quite fine. But I do agree with you on the triple captain. I think you want to look for a double game week for that one.
Unless it's one of those weeks where you get, you know, about six or seven teams playing twice, or not seven. You know, if you get several teams playing twice and then you can actually, you know, get a full squad, you know, getting double week, then it's worth it. But otherwise, yeah, I think just single game week.
Mm. Among the teams with extra games to fit in, Villa, with an extra two fixtures to try and cram in, which is really attractive when you think about potential double game weeks. The fixtures, though, are not great. But then again, you got Jack Grealish maybe coming back into the picture. What's everyone's thoughts? Faris, where do you stand on the Villa question?
I mean, obviously, I think thinking about goalkeepers through the years, I mean, Martinez, it'd be hard to think of one that has made more of a difference to a team than Martinez this year. And the amount of bonus points and save points is just, you know, it's unreal. So he's been brilliant. But, you know, I don't know. I guess they kept clean sheets, get both games against Arsenal. It's not impossible that he keeps going, but I feel like I'm considering getting rid of him for the end run of the, you know, the final run of the season. I'm not sure if it's going to continue.
Okay, and they had a brilliant end to the season last year when they stayed up by the skin of their teeth. They do have a relatively attractive-looking home game against Fulham in game week 30. After that, though, not so nice. They have to go to Anfield, then they host Man City, then West Brom, then away at Everton, and then Man United. Jack, have you got any villains in your team?
Villa have screwed me over all season. I couldn't get Martinez in. 11 points, 10 points, 15 points. And then
double-digit hauls, hasn't he?
So many hauls. Yeah. They're the team that have probably ruined me more times than any other, because they always seem to play on Monday night or Friday night as well. And I just check the score and it's another clean sheet and just shake my head. So now I've been burnt too many times.
Right. All right, then. Now, one thing that a lot of people will be wondering as we head into these last 9 rounds is how to catch up on people in their mini leagues. Faris, this is something that applies to you. 25 points, as I mentioned before, behind Johnny Dutch of the Manor.
My main concern is catching my little brother, because this is the first year that he's sort of done the game seriously. And, you know, in years past, I've always given him advice. And this so this year, he's just somehow he's taken over.
A couple of listeners there suggesting about how they're going to throw all the big name players out because everyone's got them and they just have to wildly punt on some kind of outside chances. Sam, if you were giving one or indeed two pieces of advice to people trying to catch up in a mini league at this point with 9 games to go, what would it be?
So I think for me, you kind of need to find a balance between those two different strategies that you just discussed. So if you're going to catch up, you need some differentials, but you also need to keep a core. So when you look at the ownership figures at the moment, you've got Bruno at 56% owned, Kane and Son both at 45 and 44 respectively, Martinez at 41. Those guys are going to massively hurt you week on, week out till the end of the season if they perform. So they would be players that would be making it straight into my team. They won't go anywhere because you cannot catch up mini leagues if you're fighting constantly behind those players. So have them. But then look for the differentials. Go and look at the under 10%. So if you can find a balance that says, well, here's the core of my team, these 5 players, the ones that I've mentioned that are over 50% ownership, have them as a staple and then go rogue with the under 10% and fool the rest of your team. Those guys will come off, particularly because they are the players, generally speaking, who are playing for clubs that have something to fight for, the likes of Chelsea, who haven't been performing that great this season, but have found their feet under Tuchel, the likes of Fulham and Brighton, who are fighting at the bottom, and the likes of even Lucas Moura at Spurs. Really, really nice differential way to differentiate your Kane and Son picks and boost you up mini leagues, because you know now that Spurs' full focus, apart from game week 33 when they're out for the League Cup, is on getting some European football back next season.
All right, well, we'll have another official FPL podcast coming up next week ahead of game week 30. And of course, there's always loads more content from the Scout and all the stats, etc., over at fantasypremierleague.com and the FPL TV show as well, which will be running this week and next, as usual, with Jules Breach. Check out Lout by the Horrors, which is available now at all classic download points. Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, everybody. Sam, Jack, and Faris, and you, listener, will be back next Wednesday. So do hope you have a great week, and we'll catch you then.